Hello, my little pog champs. We're back.
Did we actually start?
Yeah, Matt, we did. We started. And welcome back to you as well, you bearded little AWOL.
What do you mean? You're
never here.
Breckenridge for a bit.
You keep disappearing off the episodes because we keep criticizing Owl.
I know. It's tragic, isn't it? Matt just wants to sit there and roast his employer, but he's not allowed to do it on broadcast anymore. So it's brutal. You have to kick him off.
That's not true. I don't want to roast. Why would I want to roast my employer? Look how it worked for you guys.
Yeah, restart the episode. There's some bad energy going on right here.
No. Who dressed
Johnny today? He looks like a little 16-year-old boy who's dragged off to the country club by his parents.
You gotta embrace the youth, Matt. Okay, you only have so many years at the young age of being a teenager.
That's true. I feel so old, and I'm not even that old.
You are that old. I mean, you're
repping the beard. Like, the beard helps you look older, so you're not repping the young.
Whoa!
You want to shave the beard?
This is why we need Bren in the studio, because otherwise this happens. All right. Okay. This is a real episode. All right? None of this greatest of all time nonsense that's been going on for a while. This is a real, genuine Plat Chat Overwatch episode.
I think my favorite part to come out of the greatest of all times is not any of the lists. It's just the hatred for a vast list. That's what I think my favorite part is that, like, we had ridiculous lists, but for some reason everybody gravitated. I think it's because everybody's used to us just having ridiculous takes, but
Avast has set his expectation as being the thinking man's co-streamer, and then he came up with the Papega man's flex support top 10, and the bad wheel just went down.
I'm pretty surprised that Avast was getting so much heat for his lists when mine were just I didn't use my brain.
Yeah, but again, people expect that.
It was weird because usually, like, there's one person who have like bad takes, but like Reddit overloaded because there were so many bad takes that there were like four different people just like,
and
hey,
broke the system.
List? What about the Vast list? Hey, look at Johnny's list. And like, they couldn't handle all of the weird takes at once. So they just focused on.
Dude, Brent had some insane one on the DPS.
Yeah, did.
You ever put a cucumber near a cat?
Yeah. I mean, no, I've never done it, but I've seen videos of it. I would.
Why?
They get scared.
I think they think it's like a snake or something, so they freak out. What has that got to do with the greatest of all time list?
Or if you put a post in there on the cat's head, it doesn't know what to do.
Stop abusing your cat, Brent.
It's a fun prank. It's just fun prank.
Yeah, I'm sure the cat thinks it's funny. The cat afterwards is like, oh, you got me, mate, you got me.
Who's this?
Oh! Yo!
Whoa, cat with a cucumber. Whoa, never seen that before. Brent bringing up references from 2004 when people discovered the internet.
What's the meme that Brent brought up like ages ago that's just been like, that's been dead, that we were just, oh my God, what was it? Kurt, you had it. The guy, it's the frog on the bicycle. What?
Who dat boy? That meme thankfully died 5-10 years ago.
Oh shit, Brent, what up?
He's trying to resurrect it for some reason.
Brent tried to bring it back for like a month. Yo, here comes that boy.
It's awful. It's awful. There's a reason it's not around.
This is a very good meme.
It's a very bad meme.
Put it on the top 10 of all time.
Where would this rank
in the meme hall of fame?
We're not doing the top 10. We're not doing a greatest of all time meme.
Probably near the bottom of the top 10. Yeah.
Yeah, I think like 7.
I think it's close to the cyberpunk speed run with the monkey and the using tools.
Open the meme archives.
Cyberpunk speed run.
I've dropped into a fever dream. I don't know what you're talking about.
Kurt knows what I mean.
No.
Remember the fart noises?
What?
That's the New York Times published a photo of a monkey, Kurt. Yeah, How did you get there?
I just typed in what Bren was saying.
Speaking of the New York Times, though.
Monkey speedrun, and you got that.
Speaking of the New York Times, they recently bought Wordle. Did you see that? Them trying to get on what the kids are doing. And
we're just a variety podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no. Also, someone made an Overwatch League Wordle. So I wanted to see if we can get the Overwatch League Wordle to begin here. It was, I've just closed the name of the person on Twitter who made it. It's Zusaw. At ZusawOW. There it is. Owlel is what they're calling it, which, I'm going to be honest, doesn't drop off the tongue in the same way as Wordle particularly, but good try. I don't understand any of this, so I think we just go for it.
Oh, I think well, come on, you'll get it. So you divide it into Atlantic and Pacific region, and it will tell you if you write in the player name and they're in Pacific or Atlantic, and then you got to figure out what role it is. So if you type in a tank name, it'll say whether, you know, you're wrong with it being a tank, and then you have to guess the support or DPS.
How many five-letter names are there in OWL? There can't be that many.
No, it's not about five. It's not about five. It's different. Before we start this, can I derail us one more time?
Okay, don't look
I found a list of the 100, they ranked the 100 greatest memes. Where do you think that boy was ranked?
I don't think it was on the top 100.
32.
It was.
Shouldn't have been.
Bren, where do you think that boy was ranked out of the top 100 memes of all time? No.
Nine.
Where was it, Matt?
97th.
Yeah, thanks for that. It barely made the list. It's a shite meme. It was awful then. It's awful now.
What are we talking about?
All right. We're talking about Wordle, Bren. Focus. Yeah. Give me a name. Hit the little got it button, Kurt.
Wait, what are we supposed
to do? Give me your name!
Give me a name of any player in the league, Bren. Any player in the league. I want this to be Bren's first guess. Bren, there's no pressure. Literally, any name.
Literally say anybody.
Have you seen the interviews where they walk up to people on the street and they're like, name any woman, and the people just freeze. That's what this is.
Who was picked up today?
No, not today. Just pick anybody.
Recently, this season, someone. Oh, we get we can see the names.
pick any name.
I'm looking.
Literally, just say a name.
Wait. Venom.
Venom.
I don't think it's gonna be Venom.
Unbelievable. Okay, so
It's a DPS player who's not Korean. In the Pacific region. Okay. I'm thinking it's Chinese. It's a Chinese player who's DPS.
Give me leave, Kurt.
Ooh, it's not leave, and they're not Chinese, but they are Pacific. We already knew that because it's one or the other. And they don't play for Chengdu Hunters. So I'm going to go with...
Nero.
Nero.
Sorry.
Nero.
Oh, I thought I asked. Sorry, Kurt.
Give me Damn. I am gonna struggle with this. I'm trying to think of
who are the teams?
Shazam.
Shazam, shut up.
Well, if it's a DPS player.
It has to be like
in Pacific region.
It's gotta be like Fusion.
Not from
or
China or
right?
Korea.
Does yellow mean that it's right about
Yeah, it's got to be the Philadelphia Fusion.
Oh wait, so there's two different regions.
Yeah, but hold on. Is it split up by like the Pacific? Is it between kind of like how we used to do it with like the Gladiators would be Pacific or like the Shock would be Pacific?
No, yeah,
no, I think it said so on the website. It said two Pacific and two Atlantic.
Yeah, hit the question mark, Kurt. We need the rules again, please.
Pacific
Team
West.
Conference
Pacific.
Yeah, see,
division.
it could be from the
for crying out loud.
Kebster.
Okay, wait Kebster. There then, wait there. Which division is it?
It's gotta be Pacific West.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on, why?
So there's like
why? Pacific East Pacific is East. Yellow colored.
But it'll be green though.
No, it says it would be
Wait, I'm confused.
I'm picking Kebster.
Kebster.
I'm picking Kebster.
It's east, no?
Oh, they are in the Pacific West, and they are on the Gladiators. Oh.
Okay. Padapan.
Hydron.
Padapan.
Ooh, Padapan's a good pick. Oh,
yo!
Nailed it. Nailed it.
You can't fool us. We're so fucking smart.
No, I mean, I definitely got fooled by the... I thought it was Pacific, like, they were in the
APAC
region.
Who's a DPS player who is not Chinese and is not Korean.
Yeah, playing in the Pacific, region.
Asia region, yeah.
Yeah, that stumped me for a while. But then I realized the rules.
Then we read the rules as opposed to just jumping right in.
All right, well,
we own that.
Should we start with the episode? It is episode 122, and there's been some news. Finally, the silence has been broken. No more rumors and speculation running rampant. Instead, we had a video made by the league, and it went through the tournament format. Let's begin with talking about the general tournament format, though, that they announced, which is, I mean, Matt, do you want to summarize it?
It's obviously more games this year, but then like regional events with bigger international competition. It's kind of like the gist of it. Like follows the same type of flow as last year, because like last year was pretty good. Just I wish there was more teams than four at the tournaments, which like this year obviously make adjustments to make happen. But the international events, like mid-season in the playoffs, like a minimum of like $1 million prize pool. So like real like kind of like those big international events like are something that I'm excited for, like those 6-day double elimination bracket, loads of teams. Like that's something we've never really done in Overwatch, which I'm happy we're able to do now.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. So overall, it's they described it as kind of having four stages, the first being regional, the second is kind of this mid-season tournament thing, third back to regional, and fourth being kind of like a last LCQ chance play-in thing for the playoffs, right?
Yep. Yeah, there's like an LCQ for the Countdown Cup. Like, it's not another tournament there. Because it'd be weird to do an international tournament, then into another international tournament, like, back-to-back. That also, like, who the fuck knows, like, who's going to be good at the beginning and who's going to be good at the end, or, like, people get signed mid-season or something like that, right? Like, I think this year, more than any, trying to give teams as much opportunity to qualify as possible.
Johnny, what do you think about the 24 regular season matches? We had 16 last season, if I remember correctly. That's outside of going to Hawaii, you know? Like, if you actually went to Hawaii, you played a few more matches, but you had minimum 16.
How many matches were the season before that? Was it, like, 28?
Yeah, something like that, I think. It went from, 40 down to 28, down to 16, and this is the first season it's going back up again.
Well, no, in the COVID season when we went home, right, it like changed the amount of games because I think some didn't.
Dude, that was just a cursed season.
Yeah, people played like 24, some people played like 28. It was just like all over the place.
No, that one was
we had like four different formats in one season. It just kept changing. I think 24 regular season matches is perfect. I mean, until I learned more from this season and is able to build on that experience. But obviously 40 matches is not optimal as in 2018. We tested that out. If we go to the Overwatch League stats page, if you are trying to look up the top 10 player of all time, all the current holders are basically the players who played in 2018 and 2019, because that's where most of the matches were held, and then we dropped off. 16 last year, it felt a little bit too short, and also it didn't seem completely fair when it came to determining the seeding and qualifying for some of these stage tournaments. It was very reliant on like who has the easier strength of schedule one stage, who has a harder strength of schedule. There were some teams like Lana Spitfire, I think they had a stage where they played like Shock, Atlanta, Dallas, and like one more team. And it's like at that point, like, EG.
They should have just won.
Yeah, we should have just beaten these four teams. Seems completely fair. And then towards the end of the season as well, you had the remaining league matches determining who makes it to playoffs, and teams like Houston Outlaws, I think, had a bit of a harder strength of schedule. I mean, that's just going to happen over the course of a season. But when it comes to specifically the stage tournaments, it just were too few matches, I think, to truly determine who were the better teams in a specific meta, in a specific hero pool. So I think adding some matches per stage, I think, is a good thing. I think it makes it easier for the better teams to actually have a chance to qualify without being so reliant on their strength of schedule. And I also think that the stages will feel more fruitful, is not quite the right word. Like, there's more substance to it.
More fulfilling than just four games.
You're just like coming to week one, it's a new hero pool, a team plays two matches, and they're like, okay, well, we didn't really have time to prepare with this comp. And then you go into week two and they play two more matches and like, oh, we didn't make it. I guess we're not playing games for a month. So I think it adds some more matches to all these different teams, and it makes the stage qualification a little bit more fair, in my opinion.
I don't like matches without purpose. Does that make sense? I mean, the matches have purpose, but what I found was last year, I basically only got excited about the matches when it got distilled down to the tournaments. When we went to the Hawaii situation. So adding more matches for me, it doesn't excite me as much compared to like the actual tournaments themselves. When you actually see the matches with purpose, like tournament brackets and whatnot. Like the mid-season idea seems pretty fucking dope, I think. Having like international competition between everybody, you know, and a big, I don't know, has it been announced what the format is of it?
It's 12 teams.
12 teams is like double a limb or?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a cool idea. I worry that it's like the viewer fatigue that sets in when you just watch a lot of matches without too much purpose. Early on, it's not a problem because we all want to see what the teams look like. But when you get to a sort like in between, I guess, the mid-season and playoffs is when it gets a little bit weird, I think, if you have too many matches. But that's just me.
I actually thought this 2021 season was the first one that didn't drag. Like, I felt like a lot of the other seasons dragged in, like, stage three, where you're just like, fucking hell, more games when these teams are not able to make it into the playoffs. But this is a full, like, 50% increase in matches. You go from playing kind of 4 per stage to 6 per stage. It's a pretty big increase, but I don't know, maybe this is the kind of right area. I think as long as you can still make it to the playoffs at the end, as long as you're not playing, like, stage three, you know, like, useless matches where not much is going on and teams have no chance. As long as there's like ways in that last chance qualifier for bad teams to go on a run and still make it through, it's still going to be somewhat interesting.
The way it shakes out is that it's just off the top of my head, but in APAC, it's really, I think, only the last team that's like eliminated before the LCQ. So like in theory, I think it's 1 through 3 auto qualify for the playoffs, and then 4 gets a bye, and then 5 plays 6, and then the winner plays 4 for the final spot. So you're only eliminating one team from playoff contention just off of just being terrible throughout the season. And then in the West in NA, I believe it's only like 3 teams that get eliminated for being terrible throughout the year.
Can I bug you, Sideshow, more about the matches per season thing? Because I'd be really curious to have a conversation with someone who's just like a fan of like, you know, 3-4 teams or whatever. They're a fan of the Overwatch League. They tune in, watch matches, etc. Because I think I share that fatigue sometimes with you, especially like in the early seasons when there were a ton of matches. I mean, I even had a little bit of fatigue like last year. But I think part of that is also just by because it's our job and like because we have to watch all the matches. And, you know, if you're on the desk as well, I mean, casters to some extent have to as well, like watch all the APAC games as well, recap those, you know, who's leading the MVP race in Asia. You have to watch all the NA matches. So I think working on the product, I think that's going for most works in general. It's like if you work on something, it is going to be a bit more fatiguing than for the general fan or someone who's enjoying the product. So I'd be curious to hear what someone thinks who's just like a fan of the Washington Justice and is now able to watch one more match of them every stage, or like a fan of Florida Mayhem, who would have like a month's break in the middle of the season last year. Now you're adding like a match to their viewer experience. And I think
I can kind of answer that
as well, but yeah.
Like, I think it is probably like a thing of us being on the show. Cause even like last year I was like, man, I just want to get to the, like, kind of like Bren, like just get me to the tournaments. But like all the feedback, like across the board is like people wanted more, like they didn't feel like the 4 was enough. And that's like teams, fans, etc. That like maybe it's just a product of us doing the show every day and like kind of just living it that way as opposed to just kind of a viewing experience as a fan.
Yeah, no, I can understand that part of it. I mean, it's not a outrageous
hard getting up at 8 a.m. to check your sound to cast those Vancouver games, you know, towards the end of the season. I mean, you're like, come on, man, like.
All right, so
they'll be right this year, though. They'll be right this year. More surf lines and just bread, probably.
All the teams are going to be great this year. Yeah, no one's going to fuck it up, right?
I mean, in theory, yeah. I mean, somebody's going to have to suck, right? Not everybody can be good, so there will be some people who
maybe the master plan for them to not give the teams Overwatch 2 to practice on is so that no team is good.
Exactly, you get the enormous circle of suck where everybody beats everybody because no one knows what the hell is going on.
The playing field is level because no one knows how to play the game.
All right, there's another massive thing in terms of the tournament.
It's like hero pools. It's like hero pools times 10.
Yeah, so. It is. All right, the big thing that happened with the format though is that we went from having Hawaii every stage, so we had international tournaments running for the end of stage 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you had your grand finals. You get two regional tournaments. So for your first stage, I can't remember what they're calling that. They changed all the names for everything. So what's the first stage called, Matt?
It's a kickoff. We did change the name for everything. Kickoff Clash, right?
Kickoff Clash.
Not the Kickoff Classic, because that's the one for COD. But
I actually like the renaming stuff, by the way, because they're not tied to months anymore. So it makes a lot more sense in general. It's just that I'm going to have to wrap my head around it. But yeah, anyway, the Kickoff Clash is going to be regional. So there isn't some kind of like global end where you find out one winner. It's like, who's the best in North America, who's the best in APAC, and you have to wait until the second tournament to figure it out. I think that this is the biggest part where the tournament format has gone backwards for me. It's something that, you know, when we were talking about the greatest of all time episodes and Jonathan's like, well, 2020 doesn't even really count because you never knew who was the best anyway. You just knew who was the best in that region. It doesn't count for as much. I feel like that's exactly how I'm going to feel in the Kickoff Clash and the whatever the third one is as well. The Countdown Cup, maybe. What's the third one?
I think the third one's Summer Showdown.
Summer Showdown, sure. So the Kickoff Clash and Summer Showdown, I'm just going to be sat there like, well, cool, I guess, but it was so much better last year.
I mean, I think Hawaii has like some constraints of just like how many teams can actually go. To where I guess my point of view is like I'd rather just see bigger tournaments and events than like kind of have these like really tiny internationals. I also felt it was kind of like going from NA to a double limb bracket into another double limb bracket with like less teams felt kind of like bad. But I do kind of understand the not having the international competition is kind of tough consistently.
It is going to suck, I think, a little bit with the first and third tournament that we don't get to see like the peak, definitely the best two teams go head to head. Like we saw some of the Dallas Fuel and Shanghai Dragon series last year where like you would watch those teams and be like, these teams are built different, they're from different regions, they're establishing a rivalry because they only get to play each other at this very singular event at the end of every stage. At the same time, I can kind of understand where they're coming from. We're just like, are we just gonna have Hawaii just like four times a year now? Like at some point I think there's going to be some fatigue there as well. I think in the most optimal scenario, you know, the league would be global. So, you know, we'd have the first stage, whatever, it would be in, I don't know, fucking Denver because people play video games in the snow. And then, you know, you'd go over to Paris.
You could have picked any city in the Overwatch League and you picked a city that's not in the league.
That's true. I did that. Yeah, I did that. Then we'd go to Guangzhou. We'd see Matt try some foods in Guangzhou.
Big fan.
Stuff like that. So I think that's obviously like the ambition, right? That's the target. So it just sucks because we're, and I mean, they're acknowledging this as well in the announcement, that just like, we're still kind of in this phase of COVID where, you know, if you were really on the ball, if you really stepped up your game, if you invested
travel
so many
from
resources,
China's tough.
You could pull it off. Yeah, I think you could pull it off. And we've seen other esports try to do this, but it's a very limited set of venues where you can't pull that off. It's like, do you want to go to Iceland? It's like, well, we don't have a fucking Reykjavik team anyway, so you know, you don't. The same argument. Or like, we don't have a Berlin team, so you could maybe pull it off if you had like unlimited resources, but it's probably not reasonable to try to make that happen. And so it's just kind of shitty. Like, we're just in a shitty COVID environment where we're trying to like finish off this pandemic so we can actually go out and enjoy all this stuff. And I don't, as much as I love Hawaii, just like the thought of doing Hawaii like five more times this year, I think maybe there's some good in trying to promote the regional matches and make a thing out of that. Maybe make it something unique, something special. So it's not viewed upon as like a lesser experience. I think there's like some twists you can pull there. I think there's some awards, trophies, whatever. I think there's a way you can spin that to make it more exciting, because I acknowledge what you're saying, Josh, but like, you know, you're not getting the definitively best teams going at it in the finals. I think it's just, again, a little bit of an unfortunate scenario, and I don't think Hawaii five times a year is, you know, the right answer either.
The quarantine from China is still like a big thing. I think that like going back, they have to do like 20 something days.
That is
so mad. It's like, yeah, so it's like anything you do, like what, like you'd have to like give the whole region like a month off, like to just to get them back. Like it would just really, it makes the season kind of just super difficult to do. And I kind of felt the same way as Johnny. Like, I love international competition, but I don't know how much I would have wanted to watch like online international competition from Hawaii again. I also think like the NA teams, like it was kind of like brutal for them to play and then travel immediately and not have the ability, kind of like the APAC teams, to like stay home and practice. Like, it was kind of like brutal on them, that put them through that again would kind of suck.
I do think Hawaii was good though, and moving away from the format doesn't make that much sense for me, because we did, like you said, like we're going to be missing the international competition and seeing who the best of the best is at the beginning and three quarters of the way through the season. Like there were ways as well though that the Hawaii format could be improved, not necessarily with the logistics of it, but definitely in the presentation of it, because the feeling of disconnect and lackluster that came off the back of Hawaii, I think, came from the fact that we only had like a one camera setup of the team sideways, and it wasn't really set up to capture the player POVs. It still felt like we were watching an online broadcast.
I think that was a COVID issue though. Like, COVID restrictions in Hawaii were
brutal. I don't think you were allowed more than five. It was like some kind of like room restriction of how many people could be in a room.
You can have robocams. You can have remote robocams that can follow people around as well. Like, this, there are ways around it, but you need to reduce as much as possible that feeling of online, terminally online broadcast, which just didn't happen with Hawaii. Hawaii as a concept was fucking dope. Like, we actually got international competition. We got to see the best of the best compete on a regular basis. Fucking amazing idea. Amazing idea. But it just still felt disconnected to me. And yeah, I felt like it was an easy fix.
Because it's just very clearly online, right? Like,
but I felt like it's an easy fix. Like, you literally just have the camera setups where, I don't know, you hire out a studio in China, you hire out a studio in Korea, wherever the teams might be playing. You have a setup there that's remote. You try and sync it up with the broadcast in Hawaii. If there are COVID restrictions not allowing you to have cameramen or camera people inside the room filming the players, you have RoboCam set up as well, so you can actually capture the reaction, capture the feelings, the emotions of the players in the league you're trying to sell. That was the disconnect for me with Hawaii, and if they fixed that, I feel like that still would have been a really good solution. Anyway, I'm running around in rings when I'm talking about this topic. I think it's a missed opportunity that we're not having like the mixed competition, because like Josh said, we're just going to be left with questions. At the beginning, it probably won't be hurting that much, but yeah. It's just two opportunities where we see the two regions clash.
It's the mid-season tournament and then the grand finals, right? It's like mid-season tournament and then the playoffs, yeah. So
that's
it's better than the 2020 system, right? Do you remember the 2020 where Shanghai's dominating in APAC and one. Then you've got Shock and Philadelphia
fighting?
We just
had one, right?
What's right?
What was the original?
Yeah, that was just one.
What was
the
original plan for that, though? I don't even remember. What was the original plan for 2020? Was there going to be more international competition than just the finals? Like the original,
you mean the
like,
original plan that was fucking homestands.
It was homestands,
right? But like, were they gonna go to like the other region?
This was going
to
be in China for like 6 weeks.
They were. We talked about they were going to be in China for like months. Yeah,
they were going to be like roaming around. I mean, that was crazy as well. The plan
they were going to be roaming around.
It's gone like the exact opposite direction, but yeah. Anyway, I think this tournament format is going to be cool. but in a different way, because it's all about the midseason tournament and the grand finals. The rest is just like entertaining regional stuff to satiate you and build up some like kind of clashing narratives for the midseason tournament, right? You'll know which team is the best in North America. You'll know which team is the best in APAC. People will be arguing which region's better, and then it'll culminate in a big final. So, or, you know, a big final at the middle of the season, and then you'll have the same towards the end.
Can I
well.
Ask you this, Josh?
Yeah.
Do you think the regional stuff would still kind of play out in a very cool way if you made the reward like really good? Like you just go into stage one and you say like, yo, for the regional tournaments, the team that places first, they just get a spot into the playoffs immediately.
Wait, the, like the whole playoff?
Like if the reward is just like out of this world, does the regional stuff like still come away
with
Bren like
a talk like 10
of...
minutes ago about like games that didn't matter and you want to auto qualify somebody for an event.
Oh, that's right.
Like yeah, 5 right. months later true. Just off of
this is
six
why I don't
games?
Work on all. This is why I don't work on all.
No, you, I don't think know. It would. I don't think so. I think you
is
really
there
require
anything we can do to make the regional tournaments good, Tyson?
Well, the regional tournaments can't be good. That's the point, because you're always left with the question of whether they're better, like which region is better. So regional tournaments by definition can't ever be as good as international tournaments because they're just stuck in their own little puddle.
But
it's like if you separated
LCS,
up
no?
North America into like East and West, they'd never be as good as if you combine them together.
Well, but I mean, it's just kind of like every esport, right? Has that where like, if it's not international, it's just like a, I mean, I'm sure Valorant's the same way where it's just an argument over which region and kind of
yeah,
team.
Yeah.
Like,
and then you just, yeah. The interregional stuff is like, okay, cool. But you only get the title of being the best in that region. Anyway, I think it all comes down to how well executed that midseason tournament is overall, I think. So let's talk about it a little bit. The midseason madness, it has 12 teams and a fucking huge prize pool. What did you say? $1 million prize pool?
At least.
Why? Why is Owl throwing $1 million into a midseason prize pool? Is it because there needs to be some incentive to actually make the players care about a midseason tournament that doesn't have playoff implications?
I think part of the reason there is a lot of fatigue sometimes is because you don't get like essentially, right? Like even our international events now, they all are like the same, right? They're all for the same amount of money, the same amount of teams. Like you almost need a kind of like a, almost like a postseason teaser in the middle. Like Owl takes so like you're the off season so long, and then it takes so long to get to like the best stuff that like trying to figure out a way to kind of bring that feeling earlier than like another 6 months into the year. So that's kind of where like midseason was where, yeah, like if we're going to get the teams together from all over the place, like let's make it really worth, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think to Jonathan's point, some people would try and push some like playoff implications in there. I think League of Legends previously gave you like your region got an extra spot at the
there's way more Worlds. League points on the line than like a regional tournament.
Oh right, okay.
So like it does have a little bit like more heavy weight towards like playoffs. Sure. Being able to place well there. So yeah, I mean I hate the idea of auto qualifying people for an event like X amount of months in advance.
But it's a pretty big event. It has a lot on the line in terms of like rewards, in terms of league points, and then $1 million. I think that's going to be pretty sick. Was anything else announced in terms of like location or what the plans are in terms of like
no locations or anything,
the format or the broadcast or anything like that?
Nothing. I'm trying to make sure I don't say anything. Nothing in terms of the broadcast. Nothing in terms of the broadcast or anything
can we,
like
can
that.
Can I shout out names of cities and look for reactions on your face?
No.
Florida.
Florida's not a city. It's a fucking state.
You failed the first hurdle.
Is the hint on your jumper, is it Breckenridge?
Yeah, it's been out in Breckenridge.
We go to Breckenridge.
I've just been teasing for months. Going to Breckenridge by wearing hoodies on the stream. And I've just been like, yeah, tournaments in Breckenridge all season long. Obviously drops are back. We talked a little bit about like the Shanghai Champ skin. Yeah. That was talked about, but really just trying to get like the format out there. Like I think like we obviously want to like I want to communicate like way more than what we've been doing.
Yeah. So they like, also, the other thing that was announced in this video was that there's going to be live something, live events happening in North America. They said specifically that some live stuff was going to be occurring. I think Halo Thoughts wrote an article saying that it was going to be like homestand model, which I thought was very confusing because original homestand plans are for you to like have everything live, which there's no fucking way they're doing that, surely. But then
COVID still exists. Yeah.
The Dallas teams were talking about having a live event for like opening weekend or something, weren't there? I swear there was like a tweet going on about that or someone was selling tickets or something.
I don't know.
Missed it. There was something happening online about one of the Dallas teams or one of the Texas teams trying to do something in person.
Anything.
Was it on Twitter or Reddit or something? I saw it. I saw a little snifter of it. Yeah,
the Dallas field tweeted.
Houston tweeted that the battle for Texas will continue in person.
Right,
on May 6th.
Yeah, and so there was a teaser about in-person events happening for North America as well, though they said there wasn't any going to be happening in the East. And I was left just with more questions, honestly, after watching the video, because how many? I mean, is it going to be like a lot of them? Are they going to be in person? Are they going to have like, you know, a serious amount of travel happening for North America, or is it just like opening weekend and then the mid-season madness? So I'm anticipating that announcement because I think that could affect how cool the stuff is in North America. To your point, Jonathan, when you said how do you make the regional matchups cool, having them in person would be a massive boost to like certain big rivalries. Like, for example, that Battle for Texas, if that was actually like the Texan teams in the same room playing the game, that would be a sick way of opening things up. But I don't exactly know what that tweet means, whether it just means the audience is there for a watch party or whether the players.
Yeah,
there.
I don't even know what the tweet means. Yeah.
It is confusing.
The plan for Owl is to get Houston Outlaws and Dallas Fuel into the regional final, and then we're golden.
Yeah. We'll get rid of the two regions. We'll make another region just called Texas, and we'll just have Houston and Dallas sit in the same room and just play each other each weekend.
That's what Texas people believe anyway, that they're from their own region. Yeehaw. Okay, let's take a look at the opening week then. We've got some games. The schedule has been announced for the opening week. Let's see what the bangers are. What is the best matchup? I'm going to start with Jonathan. Jonathan, give me a banger.
Give you a banger. Right. I didn't actually like take a good look at the schedule prior, well, even though I put the link in.
Let's take a look together then.
Here we go. Yeah, it's a bit of a surprise for you. So opening day, I mean, obviously, I think LA Gladiators with, you know, Patifan and New York Excelsior, who's a new roster back in America, so is going to be a pretty good matchup. We'll see how good Philly are. I'm just saying out matches now as I'm waiting for the one that really stands out to me and is the one I'm going to claim for this entire week.
I mean, so I think ultimately I'm going to go
with the Chengdu Hunters and the Shanghai Dragons. I am so ready for that match. I think it's going to be epic. It's the returning champs.
What is that? Saturday.
Shanghai Dragons.
It's on the next page for APAC.
Saturday, May 7th.
Yeah. And Chengdu Hunters as well. We're going to talk about a little signing regulating them as well. I think that's going to be a great matchup. I'm looking forward to that one.
Johnny picked the one game that wasn't visible on the screen.
Holy shit, there's a lot of games going on. The APAC games also are starting at a much more reasonable time for North American viewers, right?
Oh, that's Encore. It says Encore.
Oh, those are the Encore games. I've been trolled. Those are the Encore games. Right, okay.
They're fucking owned.
That makes sense.
In the first week of teams. The first week of each stage is actually going to be 4-day weeks instead of the 3-day weeks like we've done in the past, because everybody should play. Like, remember last year where teams had like a bye that first week? Brent, how close do you have to get to the screen to see?
I'm trying to read the teams.
last year teams had like byes in that first week, right? Which was like is super unfair in terms of like being able to watch teams play and scout a meta. So like everybody plays twice the first week.
Mm. Okay. Interesting. There's got to be another banger on there. What's a North American banger? Can you bring it up again, please, Kurt? I'm searching
Vancouver,
for the North American
Boston.
Banger. Where is it?
I actually think
New
York
it's the battle for Texas.
Really? I thought New York vs. Gladiators is going to be good. Like, New York, I feel like, was a little bit... I think they're going to be way better in the West than they were, obviously, kind of dealing with everything in the East.
Remind me of New York's roster. It's disappeared from my mind. Who the hell did New York have this year?
Tank, it's Kellan, Gangnam Jin, Myeonbong, Flora.
Oh, fuck, Yaki. Yeah. Dude, yeah, they actually Yaki. Do have a pretty nice yeah. looking team.
They have a fucking sweet team. And then, the Gladiators, they added, Reiner, they added...
Potipon as well.
Ants, Potipon.
Yeah. No, I mean, the only reason I wasn't looking at that opening game as a banger is because I was thinking the Gladiators might just walk over them. But I'd kind of forgotten that New York have some decent talent on
Gladiators
that squad.
Added a funny Astro as well.
Oh, yeah, the Gladiators are looking like they're going for the championship.
Sick team. I mean,
they're looking nasty.
If they don't, like, contend this year, I mean, my lord, I mean, there's nothing they can do, right?
Remember when we put the number one, where I don't know if we did, but everyone was like, Gladiators number one, they're better than the Shock. Last year.
New York have actually got an interesting opening week playing against the Gladiators and Atlanta.
I was going to say the Atlanta Reign was the other matchup I was looking at that I was really interested in with like their kind of, I mean, what would you call like a complete kind of like retool, I guess, of their entire roster, right? Because what, they sent Iris out, they sent Pelican out after the first year, right? They got the new support lineup. As well,
yeah, it's
we're gonna
why are we only allowed to look at North America?
Well, we're not. I'm just saying we already picked the banger from APAC.
There you go.
Oh, there's more, of course, there's more APAC games. I was just looking at the Encore game, yeah. I'm an idiot.
That's why I was saying they're on another page,
yeah, bro. I mean, first game it looks pretty good. What time is that? I can't see.
I mean, we'll do the team
two,
previews as
2
well.
Pacific, Brent.
2 a.m. Pacific. I'm not going to be awake for that.
4 a.m. your time.
4 a.m. You can wake up really, really early.
I won't be awake for that one.
Bren, you could carve out a niche of being the APAC co-streamer. And you just you go live at 4 a.m. and you're like, hi, everybody, with your bowl of cereal.
Yep. Just barely awake, barely functioning. In fact, let's go out the night before, get really fucking drunk, and then co-stream. And then not sleep.
How do you guys think the Valiant's going to be this year?
Dude, if they come out and beat Hangzhou in their first match, that's going to be like just kickstart the APAC region in a whole different way.
Why have they not rebranded?
What do you mean?
Good question.
I feel like they've just killed the branding. There's one Los Angeles Valiant fan, and it's Tay Zonde.
He'll be waking up at 2 a.m., dude.
They should have really just rebranded the team to like an APAC city.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why they've done any of the things that they've done.
Tayson Days at the throwback. I haven't heard that in a bit.
Can I say this as well before we move on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get into this when we talk about the team previews later as well. If we ever end up doing those, I think we plan to. San Francisco is Shock. I am so excited to see them play Overwatch 2 5v5 matches, supposedly. Because that roster is looking spicy. It just so happens that they're playing the two European teams first.
Yeah, I know. They start the out like league. This yeah, season playing on like, high ping against teams, the Euro teams.
It's going to be, you know, I think we'll come out their Shock being up 2-0 after the first week, and they're going to look real spicy. I think this roster is really fun. I'm so looking forward to seeing.
Well, actually,
roster.
I mean, Paris could, not a lie.
Proper rookie of the year. I don't think it's a big surprise.
Hot take there.
We can't be sleeping on Paris, actually. I called them the poopy team, but they didn't change their roster really at all. They added Glister.
Yeah. How does that mean?
I think that's a good thing.
You think that's a good thing that Paris didn't change their roster at all from
Paris
last year?
Paris looked like they had something going for them last year. They just needed to not be playing on high ping. They're still playing on high ping.
What about what about London? You know, they got Poco.
Yeah,
Hardy's back.
Yeah, Shax and Sparker.
Don't know about London. I mean, listen, I'm gonna be
real
with you.
They're both playing against the Shock.
Yeah, but
they're playing Vancouver.
No one at this point, Overwatch 2 still won't be available to the teams. So who knows who's going to win?
True.
Maybe it comes out. Maybe it's like a time zone difference. It comes out earlier in Europe.
The team actually that would win is the one that gets the closest form to Overwatch 2's pre-release in the workshop.
No, this
they're all
is
playing
weird.
On different.
I think everyone's playing on the Gumba mode, aren't they?
Enough with this.
Gumba released it.
Gumba made like a code. Yeah.
Gunba released the workshop code that he said that people were using for that. It was like the one that Florida Mayhem
made.
There
was some that had like weird systems that weren't even confirmed. Like Orisa could.
Yeah, Orisa's charge. I don't know, man. I don't know.
People are trying. They're literally playing it. They might as well scrim in Apex Legends.
No.
Like, I don't know.
Come off it. Okay. Order in the court. Jesus Christ. Move on.
It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. Fuck
all
you
right.
know.
We actually have some news that I want to get through, though, as well. Jonak posted a twit longer, I believe it was, saying that he was leaving Seoul, citing some health issues, and it's, you know, potential retirement of a guy who is a legend, was on all of our, I think, flex support top 10 of all time lists. Says, hello, this is Jonak. I decide to leave the team and take a break. I had an issue with my health for a long time, and recently this issue got worse. Unfortunately, I cannot show more performance to the fans and win the league in Seoul Dynasty. I'm planning to take a break and do some live streaming soon. See you there. Unfortunate to lose him. I'm really excited for that Seoul team. I think that that team's got some really cool pieces, you know, with Smurf joining them and having still like a stacked DPS line, and then they have could have had Jonak there as well. It would have been a really cool team to watch and kind of keep track of. It's sad to potentially see such a legend of the game retiring if this does end up being a permanent thing, if it's not a short-term health issue.
Yeah, hopefully he ends up feeling better. I mean he hasn't said, he's been quite vague, right, about the health stuff, and I don't want to pry, I don't want to speculate either, but I mean, yeah, hopefully he does end up finding that the break does help or whatnot, whether it's caused by the stress of the oncoming season or whatnot. I'm not sure. I just said I wasn't going to speculate, and I'm just fucking speculating. I'm an idiot.
You said I'm not going to speculate, and then the first thing you did was speculate.
Yeah, I don't have any brain cells. They're literally all focused on trying to make people squirm in the podcast by saying stuff like, oh, there's no Overwatch 2 to practice on. What the fuck is that? Yeah, I mean, it would be a massive shame, honestly, to see him retire and not see him like showcase, I guess, what he can do in Overwatch 2 and continue that forwards. Because I mean, the thing that when we were doing the top 10 lists, the thing that I realized actually was that there were some rare cases, but honestly, more than I thought, of cases where players had a resurgence of performance, where they had a really strong performance and then a little bit of a drop off and then actually came back a little bit towards the end of their careers or whatever. And for Jonak, I mean, Jonak's always been one of the best players on New York early on as well, and carrying on all the way his performance when he was playing on. I don't know. He's a player that I would have liked to have seen that resurgence, because he didn't.
You would have liked to see what he could do in a new environment, right? With some other pieces around
Overwatch
him.
Especially because Overwatch 2 is rumored to be like just absolutely flattening main supports. So like you'd think that flex supports are going to have more agency, you know what I mean? Like a bit more freedom to really flex and pull off some cool shit. So I feel like it would have been a game that potentially really suited him, which is why I think it will be a bit sad if he's not competing for the future.
Yeah.
I mean, you also look at it as like, this was clearly his best team he would have been on since what, season one, right?
I mean
obviously you don't know,
good,
but
yeah.
Huh?
Season two,
but like in terms of like just
well, yeah.
In terms of like just overall talent on the roster top to bottom, right? Yeah. Like with Smurf and I know Profit Fits, like you know, creative, like this would have been like probably the strongest team talent wise he would have been on. So it'd have been interesting to see what he would do on that team. I was also curious of like how they play with him, right? Because we've really seen New York just play like one style, just basically centered around Jonak. So like what he would look like on a different team. But what Brent said, hopefully it's just a break and not a retirement. He can come back eventually and see what he can do.
Yep. There was also some other news coming out of the LA Valiant account, which was that they have signed Lengsa as a fifth member, which I think is a massive pickup. I think Lengsa has been had eyeballs on him for a while in terms of being a very talented player and fits into the Valiant pretty well. So I don't really see... I think this makes a lot of sense.
Don't have any tanks yet. Don't have any tanks yet.
I assume there's more roster announcement coming. I don't think has been added to play tank for them.
Well, no, but like, you never know.
No, I do. Well,
stranger things have happened.
I would hope that I know, because Lengsa was one of the people that a lot of different teams would have had their eye on. I'm pretty confident in that.
Honestly, yeah, the team is shaping up to be quite nice. Honestly,
yeah, if they don't have a thrower on tank, they're kind of like not going to be bad.
I think Coldest as well as a player that we didn't really get to see much of him, right? He was on Hangzhou for a long time. He got added to that team, Hangzhou Spark.
Yeah, he was a good player.
Yeah, but he didn't see too much playtime, right? Because Hangzhou, I think, found it difficult to integrate a lot of the Chinese players into
Hyperdia coming back as well.
Yeah, I think there's some real potential, because I always thought Coldest was a really good player. This team is shaping up to look potentially good. If they come out with that market redesign as well and it goes for the Beijing Bears, whatever, I'm telling you.
Beijing Brens.
I'll be right there with Taizonde.
I don't think they need the rebranding though, because they're halfway there to doing the full Shanghai Dragon season one turnaround, where Shanghai went 0-40, and now we're seeing the LA Valiant. You know, they've
I'm
lost
not
one season now.
Win.
And well, it's like, maybe now they could win Overwatch League in a few years. So, you know, I think the turnaround would really be quite epic. I think they'd garner a lot of attention. You know, if they start winning games early, I think Nohill is cooking up something special over here for the LA Valiant in the Chinese region. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm hyped for this roster. They're missing a tank, but even if they roll out like Becky on Sorry or some shit, I don't care. I'm ready to root for the LA Valiant.
I also feel like last year, though, didn't they not have a ton of time to put together the roster? Like,
they got rid of all of the players on short notice.
Right. But I'm saying I forgot what Chinese, team they're partnered with, right? LGE. Like, they didn't really have a ton of time to put together a team. They probably, were they even in Overwatch prior to that?
Yeah, they have, they've been in the game for a while with contenders teams and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So they had some experience with it, but this is probably their first actual kind of attempt to put together is serious.
It's a rebrand, bro.
That you're just openly saying, hey, I don't really give a shit if the LA Valiant just screwed over all of its players. If you rebrand, I'll love you again. I'm willing to forget.
I'll tell you, no, let me word it correctly. I don't like the fucking Immortal Gaming Club who fucked over those players by selling the deal after they signed all those players and sold or whatever, broke a deal with LGE to operate the team. And then LGE was like, well, we can't get these players over to China. We need players that we can literally manage in the country that we are operating in
as a
business. And so purely just the ethics were thrown out the window by the fucking Immortal Gaming Club.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Listen, the Los Angeles Valiant name has been tarnished. It has been tarnished. Throw it away. If we write it in the history books, let it be known that the Immortal Gaming Club cannot be trusted with anything. Anything.
Okay. All right. Well, excellent. Let's move on to Chengdu, because I think Bren's got more pleasant feelings about Chengdu.
I think there's so much to this brand, though. Like, imagine if Nohill just took innovation out to In and Out in China. Like, that would be you don't have In and Out in China. But there's so much to riff off. There's so much material here. Like, you can.
It would be very funny. Do something with it. It would be very funny. Talk to me about Chengdu, Jonathan. They have promoted Aprida. What's your read on the move?
My read on the move. I think this was quite an obvious move. As soon as they got rid of my fellow Taro Kukido, I think Aprida was one of the most hyped Chinese contenders players that we know of. And if you've interacted with any of the content that some of the people who follow the Chinese region a bit more closely, even on the Tactical Crouch podcast when they discuss this move and stuff like that, Aprida is just an absolute god. And so him teaming up with Leave is they're predicting it's going to be one of the best DPS duos in the entire league. Like, no cap. Aprita is that good, and of course, leave the reigning Overwatch League MVP. So I'm pumped to see it. Them going head to head against the likes of Fleta and Lip, it's going to be some unreal Overwatch goodness. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think this is a very exciting move.
They got the Moo in there as
no
well.
No matter how obvious it was, I'm only looking forward to watch more Chengdu with Aprita being picked up.
Yeah, I'm very hyped for crazy good Chinese DPS carrying in 5v5. I feel like it's just the year to do that. It seems so good to just beef up Jinmu DPS just, core in this kind
Jinmu
of year.
Just pulling out Genji, just winning
no
games.
No cap, bro. Like, listen, if they turn... If Overwatch 2... Now, listen, we don't know anything about it. But if they turn it into a shooter... You'll be seeing Chengdu pop off, man.
What?
If the game is like a shooter game, yeah, could be seen him pop off, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. No, I can see it. I can see it. I think Chengdu low-key looking extremely good for next year. Or maybe not even low-key, but they are... I'm concerned a little bit that the APAC teams will end up getting ignored a little this season without the international competition. You know, the way that it kind of did in 2020, where everyone was talking about, oh, it's talking about Shock and Philly all the time. Because there's more teams in North America. There's more people watching at that time zone. They don't particularly watch all of the APAC games. And we're in the, like, English-speaking bubble. I'm sure a lot of the Chinese and Korean-speaking bubble are talking about the APAC games as well.
Yeah.
But within the English-speaking bubble, I feel like last year, Chengdu got a shit ton of really good attention because they deserved it. And I just hope that people are still willing to pay attention to them if they start doing incredibly well next season, even if the games aren't in their time zone. Because
I think they'll be fine. I think you saw this year even that, like, someone like Avril, who's obviously an expert specifically for this region more than almost anyone else, is just like, you know, he went all in on the Leave MVP train very early on, around like June or something like that.
Yeah, he
like,
also lives in the APAC region, so it's not a weird
thing. I also
time for
saw
him.
Where he thinks that there shouldn't be headshots in the game. I was like, okay.
Well,
who said that?
They had a discussion about that. Yeah, they had a discussion about that.
Who said that?
It's Avril,
you want to take your shooter and turn it into
it's
daddy daycare.
Can you blame them? No.
You need...
I know a pro player who also suggested that at one point. I'm not going to name him.
You.
I know who you're talking about.
Was it you?
It was not me.
Nope.
No.
Well-respected member of the community, though. DPS player. Let's narrow it down a little bit more.
I think if someone rises up from the APAC region, they're going to get the props. I don't think we have to be very concerned about that. And I think, actually, if you look at some of the, you know, social media action and stuff like that, I think obviously you're going to hear a lot of fans who are like Outlaws fans or, you know, Dallas fans, Shock fans. Like, they're going to be very vocal and noisy out there. But I think you're seeing a pretty fair representation when it comes to like the best players and stuff. There are people who actually like root for some of the APAC names, brings them up and mentions them and describes like what they're doing to some of the fans who don't watch APAC. So I think there's some representation on social media even for players who pop off in the APAC region. So, you know, if they go on a wild run going into the midseason tournament, I think you're going to see some noise about it. Maybe I'm just being too optimistic. I feel like I'm so optimistic this episode. Maybe I shouldn't be optimistic. I don't know.
I like to believe
good things in the world, Joel.
Yeah. All right. Take a look at that Chengdu roster again. Kirk, can you bring up the Chengdu roster? This roster looks pretty stacked, right?
Yeah.
You've got nasty DPS duo, really good tank that's flexible. You've got support players that can kind of pound as well. Here's my question, open question. What kind of ranking on paper is Chengdu in APAC?
I mean, they have to be the clear-cut number two, right?
Behind the Shanghai Dragons?
You would think so. I mean, shit. If they had another tank and you split them up into two teams, they're probably the second and the third team. I mean, look at the roster. I mean,
what about
maybe close?
What about I can't hear who you're saying.
What about Philadelphia?
Thank you. Has Philadelphia announced their full roster yet?
No.
I don't believe they have, right?
Nope, they haven't.
So, I mean, how could you know? Impossible to know.
Are you sure?
I'm just trying to throw out names. They've only got one support right now. You know, they got Aimbot.
Oh, so. Yeah. And they did like, they made an announcement for like an open tryout. Like, hey, if you're on main support, come play with us.
Philly could be good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, though, Chengdu, I mean, with the DPS lineup they have and like Gaga and the supports, like they should be able to figure it out and make something good out of that team.
Their main competition is going to be Shanghai, right? And I think they play Shanghai week one.
I was even going to say, like, I think that, like, you know, that, I mean, who knows, right? Like, I think they could even contend with a team like Shanghai, right?
Let's take a look at the Shanghai roster, because they just made a roster change too. Or not a roster change, but a roster addition. They brought in a player that I think less people are going to be excited about compared to an Aprita or a Langsa. They've added Bebe to the roster.
Bebe.
And personally, I can't really see Bebe being like a, you know, replacement for Izzyaki. But are we just thinking this is a double flex support kind of deal?
Seems like it to be. But I also feel like I'd want Lee Jae Gon to just learn the flex supports rather than like get another player.
Maybe.
It's just covering their bases, you know?
Yeah.
They're literally covering their bases. I mean, I think it's pretty smart coming into 12 Watch 2. They still have a fat roster considering there's only going to be 5 players playing.
Does it move the needle at all? Does it actually affect how good they're going to be over the course of the season?
No,
I mean, a couple percent. Yeah, I mean, there's
a couple percent. So yeah. you think, hold on, how many percent do you think Bebe affects this roster? I would love to know where you kind of, where you have this as a move. Is this like a 2%, difference?
I think it's about a 3% increase in performance.
3%
here.
Increase. Yeah. Do you know that like, yeah, that's essentially like a push. it's essentially an even.
Getting Fledder more sleep every night would be a larger percentage increase to their chance of winning.
Yeah, well, you know, Shanghai, they've won our championship. They want to protect it. They'll do whatever it takes. I think there's some fun clips out there of Lee Jae Gon playing Senyata on Route 66. And maybe you'd like to move away from that and into Bebe, you know, taking over some of the flex support demands if necessary. I mean, it's Overwatch 2, right?
I mean, this is
that
a
just looks scary.
Roster.
That looks menacing.
Yeah,
it's that for 5 players in a game, right?
Yeah, I mean that's large.
and that's going to be the question: is how do you manage this effectively? How do you manage a roster like this?
I'll tell you. I will literally tell you right now. You run literally the same 6 players who won you the championship minus one of the tanks, whichever tank is doing better at that meta. And that's what you go with all the time.
Yeah, that's what you would do, right?
That's what Shanghai do. Even when Shanghai had a bunch of subs on their roster, like Who Are You, like DM, like fucking Stand One, they barely ran them. They tried them out a bit at the beginning of the season, and then they just narrowed it down to 6. Mm-hmm. So I don't see why they wouldn't do the same. They're just going to narrow it down to 5, maybe swap Fate and Void depending on what tanks are meta at the time, and maybe sub Bebe in for a game every now and then if Lee Jae Gon can't learn Zen quickly enough and you want to run Bap Zen or something. But I think they're just going to have a stable 5.
There's only one way this can go wrong for the Shanghai Dragons, and it's a very small percentage chance, okay? risk, rather. It's a risk. And that is if the Fate Void tank substitution and rolling the team, like shot calling, stuff like that, goes wrong on some level. Whether that is like, hey, we need to play Fate all the time because he's our shot caller and he provides a lot of shot calling, and maybe he can't, you know, fill that void. That void brings to the table. Oh my god, that's awful. Or because, you know, maybe like Void is super instrumental to how Shanghai Dragons operate on a peeling basis, or, you know, protecting the DPS and support. And maybe Fate is, you know, tunnel visions on something else. You know, I'm just speculating, throwing out random unsubstantiated claims here. But I think that is realistically the only way where Shanghai Dragons could find themselves in a spot where they have to figure out which way to go between 2 paths, and something that could like be a bit of a, you know, something they trip on throughout the season, but it's unlikely to happen. So
yeah, I know what you mean though. that leaves us with only our most important segment at the end here, something we haven't done for many weeks because we've been doing the greatest of all time episodes. And they didn't have a Bren's Player of the Week, but we actually have Bren right here. So I'm not going to try steal this away from you. I am going to say I've got a Bren's Player of the Week in my head. And if it's not that...
I think we all know who my Bren's Player of the Week is going to be this week.
I don't know that
I don't think we do.
I don't know.
Are you guys aware...
This is going to be stupid. I already know.
I can see
you guys aware of that telescope that they fired into space a while ago?
Yeah.
Go on, tell us more.
Well, did it find anything?
It successfully went through the firing stage. It's in space. It's in position. They did a bunch of cool calculations on it, and now they're just aligning the mirrors on it to actually intake deep space imagery, which is really cool. But not cool enough to get my Bren's Player of the Week.
Oh.
A little
and a
Bren's
Player of the Week. I mean, it's got to go to Zoe, right? It's got to go to Zoe, I think, you know, because she's having a kid. Her and Jacob are having a kid. So they're, you know, they're entering the wide world of parenthood. And so Zoe and, Zoe's going to be my Player of the Week. Expecting a kid. I think that is...
Do you think we can sponsor Zoe's baby and get naming rights?
What would you call it?
I don't think so.
Plat chat.
You'd call
just Plat. So. Just first name Plat. Plat. Plat.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But congratulations to Zoe, of course, and very very happy, obviously, for her.
I thought you were going to give it to Custer for completing a reverse sweep and winning the experimental
card tournament.
Yeah, that was
crazy.
I could have strung you all along a little bit more, but I could have taken it one step further, like talking about the alignment of the mirrors. I mean, it's pretty cool, but is it as cool as Overwatch? And then started, you know, hinting to Custer, and I'm like, but Custer's not going to get it either. But no, I didn't want to, I'm not going to string people along. So Zoe, obviously... I think she's earned the award many times, actually. We'll have to check the archives.
She's got to be near the top.
Pull up she's the Blade at Runner the top, scene. 100%. It was her and Achilleos were tied at the top, and then you've given it two extra times to Zoe.
How was Achilleos at the top?
I think he took out Fielder for dinner and did something. I think he maybe, I don't know. Did he get married?
Somebody archived
he get married
all
or engaged,
the players of the week.
Genuinely, the most consistent way to win Bren's Player of the Week, if you're out there, if you're a fan and you want to win Bren's Player of the Week, get married, have a child, have some major life event occur, and Bren respects those life events much more than any accomplishment that you could
get. He's on the lookout.
I handed it to
on Twitter. And...
A while ago, I handed it out to people. I mean, that sounds really weird. I handed it to people who were like, everyone who is married is getting married and potentially will be married in the future.
That's true. So that's everybody watching.
That covers so many bases.
You didn't give it to Puckett when Puckett had a kid.
Yeah, Puckett just had a kid and you didn't give it to Puckett.
Why I wasn't on the episodes?
Well,
no, like it literally just happened the other day.
But this week he had a child.
This week. Yeah, it's god.
So he's only halfway through.
You guys are splitting me at the seams here.
I think we should give it to everybody who is
congratulations
or may
congratulations to Puckett
be having a child.
Congratulations to Puckett and Molly as well.
Yeah, I think Molly did the hard work. I don't think Puckett actually had the child.
No, Puckett, Kurt, pull it up. Puckett had a technical difficulty, it looked like, changing the diaper. That looked to be no bueno.
Pull it
I believe
pull
he
it
said
up.
No,
that's
there's
a
another
very
one.
Cute picture. Photo.
This is cute. It's a joint player of the week then. I'm going to hand it to it's going to Zoe and it's also going if you are a former host of the Overwatch League, you are the player of the week. There you go.
Golden Boy.
It's covered all the bases.
Golden Boy get it for? Golden Boy
Malik, he's the former host of the Overwatch
Semler.
League.
These people have all hosted it before.
Yeah,
I
think
it.
Johnny's hosting. Johnny, you get player.
Everybody
you're player of the week.
Johnny.
You guys are splitting me at the seams. I cannot please everybody. I can't please everyone.
Puckett had a diaper explosion incident. It sounded like that didn't go well.
Where is this? Where have you seen this?
it on Twitter.
Can you pull it up, Kurt?
His first projectile.
Warning. Warning. Do not look at the screen if you do not want to see poo.
I'm not showing poo on the screen. Why would I show poo?
Don't
want to see it.
Don't show poo.
Okay. I'm not showing poo. Fair enough. I thought it'd be a nice way to close out the episode, you know?
I will say,
draw a line somewhere.
It is lovely, just the, I don't know, just seeing all of our friends and colleagues as well, like entering into parenthood as well, because it's such a defining moment in everybody's life. Everybody always says, like, when you become a parent, like, it alters you, you know what I mean? Like, it becomes the defining moment in your life, almost a turning point in how you redefine the highest points of your life. Is how, and then I mean, there's science behind it as well. You know, your brain is just a series of chemicals and shit, and that is what affects how you input data and see the world through a specific lens. There's science behind it that when you have a kid, both on the mother and father side, it literally alters your brain chemistry and it redefines how you look at the world. It's quite a magical thing. So yeah, congratulations.
Ren's gonna get us flagged for like, Molly, you know, listen to this doctor's advice and everybody else. Shit.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's cool. I don't know. I'm happy. I love to see cool shit happening. I love to see my friends winning. You know what I mean?
Well, that was episode 122. I hope you enjoyed it.
Hope your friends are winning.
Brent's play of the week was the longest segment we had.
Hopefully they're winning. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, we will be back with other news and other lists and other things, team previews upcoming at some point too. So subscribe to the YouTube channel as we build up towards the season beginning. All right. Bye.
Bye.